This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Friday afternoon, the first day of March, March 1st. Can you believe it? We've made it this far into 2024. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. There appears to be a trickle-down effect from the massive popularity of Taylor Swift that's not only confined to big companies. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, on this Entrepreneur Friday, an event in Chicago next month, we'll put a spotlight on women in business. Let's get a preview of the 10th annual Celebrating Women in Innovations from Luke Tannen, President and CEO of Chicago Innovation. March is the beginning of Women's History Month, and let's talk about women and entrepreneurs and jumping into that space. Luke, thank you for joining us today, and you're the CEO of Chicago Innovation. And what are some of the ways in which innovation can be used to shatter glass ceilings?
Yes, well, Rob, thanks for having me on. You know, we at Chicago Innovation, our vision statement is innovation is for everyone. So innovation and inclusion, they go hand in hand, and we're big supporters of amazing women innovators in the city. And so that's why every year we do an event called Celebrating Women in Innovation, which this year will be on Thursday, April 11th. We're doing it at the Chicago Shakespeare Theater in partnership with the Women's Business Development Center, the Chicago Network, and ARA. And we usually have around 400 people for this yearly celebration. And come to this event and you'll see lots of women who are shattering lots of amazing ceilings and doing great work in the city.
What is the most important thing about getting a lot of leaders together in one particular space? Is it the power of networking? Is it the value of ideas, or is it both?
That's a huge piece of it. Innovation is a direct result of collaboration and working with others to help make your ideas better and build your businesses and build relationships. The other big part of it, though, is learning. And that's why, for example, at this event, there'll be a panel discussion among the winners of this year's Celebrating Women in Innovation Awards. And these are innovative leaders in the Chicago region who actively empower women around them and champion diversity, equity, inclusion in the workplace. And there's so much everyone can learn from the five winners this year. And I'm just so excited about them. I want to say who they are. Includes Christy Hefner, well-known businesswoman and civic leader in Chicago. Betsy Ziegler, the CEO of 1871. It's the number one ranked private incubator in the world. Christy Ross, the co-founder of U3 Coffee, who sold her last company, Tasty Trade, for $1 billion. So who wouldn't want to learn how to do that as well? And then another panelist is Colleen Egan, the CEO of the Illinois Science and Technology Coalition. And then rounding it out is Kimberly Moore, who's the president and founder of KDM Engineering, who's a great entrepreneur who started and runs one of the largest black women-owned engineering firms.
And then lastly, Luke, I mean, outside of the educational and network opportunities, I mean, it's just inspirational. When you go to something like this, you walk out like really energized and inspired.
Totally agree. And you know what? Inspiration comes from lots of places. One big thing we always talk about is the value of mentorship, which is besides this event, we also run a mentoring program called the Women's Mentoring Co-op. And it started with 25 women, but we just surpassed 1,000 women this past January. And it's such an inspiring community. And it's for any woman who wants to achieve a professional goal through the support of a mentor, be inspired, grow their network, attend monthly events. And, you know, through this experience, we really focus on helping each woman gain what we consider the essential skills that really everyone needs across all careers, like leadership and communication and building your personal brand and advocating for your ideas. And as a result, all the mentees in the Women's Mentoring Co-op really, in essence, are innovating themselves, which is incredibly inspirational, by becoming a new version of themselves at the end of this whole experience. And we've seen the impact in so many ways. Women have started new companies, they've raised their first rounds of funding, they've received their dream jobs and promotions, and so much more.
Luke Tannen, President and CEO of Chicago Innovation, thank you for joining us today. Coming up, small businesses work to cash in on the Taylor Swift phenomenon. The economic impact of Taylor Swift's massive Eras tour has been documented through national retail sales figures and spending bumps in the cities of concert venues. But there are also local efforts by America's small businesses to get in on the action. We welcome in Ginny Kidd, spokeswoman for Skateway Middletown in Middletown, Ohio. Ginny, thank you for joining us today, and you are living proof of the power of Taylor Swift. You have a Taylor Swift night at the roller rink, and that really brings the people in.
Hi, yes, it did. It's actually called a Swifty Skate. So we featured Taylor Swift music the whole 2.5-hour session. We had a Taylor Swift lookalike contest. We had 50 kids who actually dressed up as Taylor Swift and competed for that. They won a microphone trophy. We had Swifty drinks. We sold Swifty merchandise. It was a great time. We were almost at capacity that night.
Now, if you haven't been to a roller rink in a long time, I can tell you it's a lot of fun. I had my daughter's birthday party was at a roller rink last year, and it was my first time on skates since the 90s. And I was amazed at how quickly it came back to me, and I think you'll be amazed how quickly it comes back to you if you go back to a skating rink. Now, the question is, if you do a Swifty skate night, and you have a lot of Taylor Swift tie-ins, is there any concern that you may arouse the wrath of the copyright police? I mean, what is okay and what belongs to Taylor Swift?
So I think the Taylor Swift's crew has already indicated that they have no problem. They're not worried about copyright infringement in terms of preventing, you know, a 13-year-old from having a skate party. They're more concerned with businesses making millions of dollars under the assumption of fans that Taylor Swift may be there or is behind the event, affiliated with the event. We don't make any representation that Taylor Swift is affiliated with the event we're throwing. And we also try to steer away from calling it Taylor Swift, but more a Swifty skate, Swifty being the name of her fan base.
Right, so it's just it's a celebration of fandom more than just an attempt to cash in. But as someone who's running a roller rink, have you seen anything like this in terms of a musical phenomenon recently that generates an immediate passionate reaction like this?
No, not with a particular artist. Not with a particular artist. We do other things to try to bring in a crowd. But our next biggest one, this was on President's Day. We do a toilet paper skate on Memorial Day, and that brings in a big crowd. But this surpassed that crowd by probably a margin of 25% to 30%.
And not only is it bringing people into the roller rink, there are other businesses that are showing up trying to make some money off of the people who show up for the Swifty skate. I understand that food trucks are setting up in the parking lot. I mean, this is when the Taylor Swift train leaves the station, apparently everybody goes for a ride.
Yeah, so it actually, the pizza truck that you're referencing, we sell Hunt's Brother Pizza at our skating rink anyway, but for this particular event, we sold more pizzas than we normally would and more than we could even house in our freezer at one time. So Hunt's Brother Pizza did bring their truck, but they weren't serving it out of the truck in terms of like a food truck. They were just making a delivery to us and keeping it on hand so we could get the pizzas out to the crowd, you know, as they were ordered.
But still, this is just a big deal, and it's a phenomenon, and the Taylor Swift effect, it affects the NFL, it affects the Super Bowl, and it affects Skateway Middletown.
Absolutely.
Ginny Kidd, spokeswoman for Skateway Middletown, home of the Swifty Skate in Middletown, Ohio. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, unseasonable February warmth has brought out the golfers. We'll preview the upcoming season.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Nice weather is allowing some golf courses in the area to get an early start on the season. Let's update what's going on in the golfing industry with John Schlaman, Director of Golf and PGA Golf Professional. professional at Eagle Ridge Resort and Spa in Galena. John, thank you for joining us today. And you know how I know that people are making a way out to the golf course in this very nice February, now March weather, is that our former morning anchor, Pat Cassidy, is apparently out on the links wreaking havoc with Mitch Michaels a couple of times already this season. So the golf fanatics are finding a way to get to the course. And the question is, John, is the course ready for them?
Well, hello, Rob. It's good to be here. Nice to talk to you. We are ready as of today. So we did decide to open one of our 318s today. And our tee sheet's pretty busy tomorrow and Sunday. The weather's supposed to be a little better tomorrow and Sunday.
How many year-round golf courses exist in the Chicago area? Because I do know there are some people, if it's 35 degrees and sunny, they want to go hit some balls somewhere.
You know, the exact number of year-round is I'm not sure of, but there are a few. I mean, I know St. Andrews in West Chicago will be open whenever, and that's, if there's a foot of snow on the ground, it's really not possible. But yeah, there's some diehards that try to play a round of golf every month, 12 months a year.
But if you are a seasonal golf course, how long does it take to get the course out of mothballs and ready for players in a new season?
Well, for us, it didn't take very long. There's not a lot of grass growing, so we did run walk mow the greens and recut the cups, and we really haven't put tee markers out, so we're at a reduced rate, but it's kind of fun. I mean, March 1st opening a golf course, I think, in the Chicagoland and northern Illinois, I mean, geez, it might happen once every 20 years.
I was going to say, what kind of math do golf course operators have to do to justify opening early if it happens to be a warm February or a warm March? When do you feel comfortable actually opening it up and welcoming golfers back?
Well, you have to kind of wait for ground temperatures to come up to the 50-degree-ish mark. That kind of takes kind of the puffiness out of the grass, and out of the ground. But the private clubs are kind of dictated by their members, and the public courses are kind of dictated by trying to drive some revenue. And, in our case, we're trying to provide some activity for, our members as well as our resort guests.
And then how did COVID impact the golf industry? Because 4 years ago, there was a great deal of controversy over, how long should golf courses remain closed because of the business shutdown order. And it was an outdoor sport, and it was one of the very few things you could do. Did that bring a lot of people back into golf who may have set the game aside for a couple of years leading up to 2020?
Well, there was kind of a good and bad to COVID in our industry. I feel that, 2020 was a challenge because really the golf courses in Illinois anyway weren't really allowed to open until I think it was around middle to the end of May. And then some of them, or actually a lot of them were walking only in May. And then it kind of went to the point where you could be in a cart if you were with your, a house member of your family, or you had to be in separate carts, which was challenging on a golf course to, have one person per cart. There was some rate competition at that time. So that was challenging in the golf industry, but on the good side, it did, people were looking for outdoor activity, the social distancing and getting out and getting some exercise and getting out of the house. And so I think it did bring more players to the business. And I really saw that in 2023. Mostly, really, what I saw that was encouraging and fun to see was a lot of young couples that were coming out to Galena, staying at Eagle Ridge, on a golf package, or just out at Eagle Ridge doing, the several things you can do in the Galena area, and one of them being golf. And, young couples, husband, wives, partners, whatever, out playing the game. And there was an interest in learning, so our golf lessons and teaching program was busy as well.
John Schlaman, Director of Golf and PGA Golf Professional at Eagle Ridge in Galena, thank you for joining us today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Police release body cam video on the death of a man killed by police inside his suburban apartment. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention issue new guidelines for COVID-19. It's Entrepreneur Friday. Noted Chicago businessman Billy Deck has opened a new restaurant in the Fulton Market neighborhood. We'll talk to him. And women can have a tougher time than men in building a reserve fund. We'll look at ways to accomplish that goal. WBBM Business. Markets are higher. The Dow is up 75 points. The NASDAQ is up 167. The S&P 500 is up 34. It's 12:31. Topping our news at the half hour, the family of a suburban man killed by police in Carroll Stream is commenting on the release of officer body cam footage of the incident. Relatives of Isaac Goodloe III say the videos released today show the 30-year-old was unarmed and contend police took a military-style approach by immediately shooting and killing him. They filed a wrongful death lawsuit. The police department says it's committed to transparency and cooperating with an independent investigation. People who test positive for COVID-19 no longer have to isolate from others for at least 5 days. That's according to new guidelines from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention issued today. That puts COVID in line with advice for other kinds of respiratory infections, including flu and RSV. People who have any of the three should stay home until they've been fever-free without medication for at least 24 hours and their symptoms are improving. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are in positive territory. We're joined by Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist, B. Riley Financial in New York. Art, thank you for joining us today. And this market is basically undeterred. It wants to keep driving forward and going up.
Yeah, it sure does. You know, it's interesting. It seems like we have an event of the week. Last week was NVIDIA's earnings report on Thursday. Lo and behold, this week was our personal consumption expenditure or PCE report on Thursday. And both of those came and went without causing too much disruption in terms of investor sentiment. So I think that's a positive. I think the other thing that's been happening very quietly behind the scenes is that other sectors are certainly joining the technology sector in this current rally, meaning it's not all about the Magnificent Seven. We've certainly seen the financials pick up pace here. Industrials are doing better. Energy may catch a bid. And I certainly think as we broaden out and look at the new high list getting longer and longer every day, that's a good sign for the health of this market. And I think the investors have gotten themselves to a healthy place where it's not all about Fed rate cuts, which will likely happen sometime this year. It's all about the fact that the economic data continues to be better than expected and the earnings reporting season was much better than anticipated.
They always say that markets are forward-looking. And how far down the road are markets looking right now, especially when it comes to productivity gains from technological advancements like we're seeing with AI?
Yeah, I certainly think part of this enthusiasm over AI is obviously the revenue opportunity. But in a larger sense, to your point, Rob, is that how much is that going to increase productivity? And if you harken back to the days of the internet and sort of starting in 94, 95, but proceeding with a productivity revolution over the course of the next 10 years, I think that same kind of thinking goes along with artificial intelligence and how that may make all of us, not just consumers, but corporations more productive in the way we accomplish things, which in fact would tamp down inflation and certainly increase profit margins and productivity is certainly a big driver of GDP growth. So to me, I think all of that, you know, together with a view that it probably doesn't take a decade for AI to really increase productivity is probably a really important piece.
One other thing that seems to be helping the equity side of the equation is that the bond market has been relatively quiet as of late. I mean, the 10-year yield is about 4.2% right now. We've come a long way from rates topping 5%.
I know. We peaked out at 5%, got as low as 3.75%, and we've been in a 4 to 4.3 range for months now, which is a good thing. I think that it's not necessarily the ultimate level. It's really the ultimate volatility, and having a lot less volatility around things like Fed speakers and pieces of economic data really talks to that shift that the Fed made back in December when they pivoted to not hiking anymore. So now we're at a place where we can just look at economic data for what it's worth and not necessarily have to add 20 or 30 basis points onto the yield of the 10-year every time we hear a new piece of information. I think that helps. It certainly helps equity markets be more risk on in terms of their attractiveness versus the surging treasury yields that promoted that risk-off attitude back when that was happening in October.
Now, the PCE number that came out yesterday showed that inflation on a year-over-year basis was in the 2% range. It was not quite at 2%. But when you have the Atlanta Fed saying that GDP is right now in the 3% range, is it possible to have 3% growth and 2% inflation?
It is, yes. Oddly enough, we've certainly had that before. And I will tell you, when you look back at the times that have happened, oddly enough, we're back in the 90s again here. But when you certainly have a path towards inflation that gets closer to that 2% symmetric target. Remember, that target is symmetric, meaning the Fed never really gets there. The Fed spent too much time below that target, and certainly we've spent a period of time above that target. But we're heading in that direction, and that's agnostic to the fact that if you look at the back half of 2023, we had GDP growth rates closer to 3.3%, right, on average. And clearly we're running above mean growth in the first quarter of this year. I think that's a positive, but it doesn't come at a place that's mutually exclusive for inflation to continue its path back down to a place that would be close enough for the Fed to think about cutting rates.
Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist, B. Riley Financial in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Entrepreneur Friday, a famous Chicago restaurateur expands his reach.
This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Entrepreneur Friday, and this afternoon we're checking in with restaurateur, club owner, actor, and all-about man about town, Billy Deck, founder and CEO of Sunda New Asian, with two locations in Chicago, River North and now Fulton Market. Billy, thank you for joining us today. And on this segment, Billy, we have entrepreneurs from all walks of life, the serial entrepreneurs, to people who really poured their heart and soul into a business and really learned a lot about themselves along the way. You've had so many irons in the fire. What's it like for you when opening night approaches for a new restaurant, even though you've been there before?
Well, thankfully, at this point in my life, it wasn't always the same as for many young entrepreneurs. When you start out, it's a little bit rough because you don't have all the right people in all the right places. Thankfully, these days, we have such amazing leaders and longtime family members from Sunda that have been with us for over a decade, and we've really grown, especially after opening in Nashville and Tampa. It's so awesome to be home and opening our second location with a great veteran crew. But, you know, the butterflies are still there. I mean, it's like you're giving birth to a new baby. You just don't know what's going to happen, and you're just excited, and it's just full of mayhem and craze and joy and ups and downs, and it's a ride. But I guess that's what drives entrepreneurs, you know, that kind of excitement.
What is the difference between River North and Fulton Market? I mean, obviously outside of the geography, but how do you tailor the business plan to the neighborhood?
Well, the exciting thing about Chicago is there's just so many diverse neighborhoods, and there's so many things that build these characteristics and personalities. The DNA is so different in each, even though they may look close on a map. The city is just so robust that there are a lot of things that you can dial into when looking for different target markets. And Fulton Market is definitely different than River North. You're starting to see a lot of brands pop up in both, and you could tell the differences and the types of already hotel brands and other companies that are in the area. different restaurants. It really, the residents are a little bit different. You know, a lot of people want to be closer and dialed in and integrated right into downtown in River North. You know, some people like to come visit and get a little bit off the beaten track and may want to come to the Meatpacking District. You know, it's always different. A lot of thought went into that. A lot of our target market over the years has grown in different ways. So we have a lot of mainstream folks coming in, tourists coming in that really just packed River North. And then we saw a lot of our demo from the early River North days begin to migrate towards Fulton Market. And so it made a lot of sense to make sure that we were expanding where folks were also expanding to as well.
Now, Sunda basically is an exploration of the entire continent, all of the culinary cultures from Japan to China to Vietnam to Thailand. It's an entire continent's worth of flavors under one roof. And how do you bring all of these disparate cultures and flavors together?
Yeah. Well, you know, I was born and raised in an Asian American family. My mom's from the islands of the Philippines, grew up right here in Chicago, and going back and forth to the islands of the Philippines my entire life to visit family required us to stop in, you know, Tokyo and Beijing and Hong Kong or South Korea to get there. And once you're in these other cities, you begin to pop around to Thailand and Vietnam. So for my whole life, we've always been immersed in Southeast Asia and Chicago. And what we're doing here is we're just bringing them, you know, up a little, amping up the quality of ingredients, the cooking styles, the presentations. And the kind of interesting thing about that, it was hard to do at first because they are very different and unique. But once we did it, as an entrepreneur, I'm now learning it's very hard to knock off. It's very hard to copy the concept because it's really tough to figure out the right menu mix, the right back of the house systems, the right types of talent to actually figure out how to balance all of these unique cultures and cooking styles and ingredients into one business model that actually makes sense from a bottom line perspective as well. So it's been really eye-opening, a tough journey, especially in the beginning, but now we're really enjoying, you know, sort of this expertise that we've built in this really unique space.
And what's it like now? Not only you have this concept exported to Nashville and to Florida, but you also have a lot of celebrity fans, Barbara Streisand, Lady Gaga, Michelle Obama. I know every guest is important when you sit down, but what's it like when you have a former first lady in the establishment?
Well, that was interesting because she came with dozens of Secret Service as well. So, you know, one of the ways growing up in the middle of Chicago in the heart of, you know, Midwest hospitality has really taught me so much that I didn't realize was special until I moved on to other cities and brought this Chicago-based concept to other cities. We treat everyone with the most amount of care and love. And I think celebrities enjoy that. I think they like being treated like people too. And we have built relationships. Chicago's a relationship building city. It's a very important piece for all entrepreneurs to get out there, making sure people know, like, and trust you. And you're just out there networking and building those relationships. And you know what? Chicago has so many young celebrities. A lot of these folks, whether it was, you know, actors or athletes or even the first lady, came from Chicago and remembered those really good, you know, service standards and relationship building moments. But it is really cool. And, you know, I think some are now investors and it's awesome to be growing with all of them.
Billy Deck, founder and CEO of Sunda New Asian, two locations in Chicago, River North and now Fulton Market. Thank you for joining us today. Still to come, building a cash reserve to reduce financial stress.
This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It can be a difficult task to build a cash reserve to take the edge off of financial worries, and that can be especially tough for women. Let's get some help from Craig Bolanos, founding partner and chief executive officer of the Wealth Management Group in Inverness and Downers Grove. Craig, thank you for joining us today. And there are lots of discussions about the number of Americans who can cover an emergency that would cost several hundred dollars, maybe $1,000. And that number is typically lower than you think or lower than it should be. So how can one begin to build up a cash cushion in case of a problem?
I think the way we build up that cash cushion is we just say no more. I mean, Rob, we just say we're no longer going to wake up with a financial hangover, because the truth is we control the outcome. It's us against us. And that first step is what you and I talk about all the time on the New Business Hour. We have to create a budget and start telling our money where to go instead of wondering where it went.
Well, this is the time of year in which a lot of people get income tax refunds. And if you don't have that emergency fund or that savings cushion, is that a good way to start?
I love how you always link the timely topics together, Rob. So that's right. So whether it's your tax refund, whether it's a bonus you received at work, whether it's money or savings, I encourage everybody right now to get that money set aside, not in your checking account, not in the savings or money market at the bank where your checking account is. I want everyone to create a new account. I want everyone to create a high yield savings account at an online institution, because it's a little bit out of sight, out of mind, and those high yield savings accounts oftentimes have low to no minimum balances, and when they pay 5% interest, that's a great way to start compounding some interest on that emergency savings.
Right. This is a time, the interest rates that we're dealing with are higher than we've experienced in a very long time, and they can bite, but at the same time, it can also work for you in that high yield savings account situation.
That's absolutely correct. I encourage everybody to start telling our money where to go. That's a budget. I want everybody who has a W-2 to get at least 3 months of safe money inside of an emergency fund. If you're self-employed or you're the sole income earner, you got to work towards 6, and it all is one step, one punch, one round at a time. As Rocky Balboa would say, Mr. Hart, we can get this done together.
Craig Bolanos, founding partner and chief executive officer of the Wealth Management Group in Inverness in Downers Grove. Thank you for joining us today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.